It's Samira
and Ivy, and you are listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be delving into US politics and the election showdown. So let's get straight into it.
Listen, we've had enough of UK politics, so it's time to hop across the pond and discuss the United States. This one has been a long time coming, but we just really wanted to wait until after the election result came in to get the full picture. And we have a very special guest joining us in the second half of the episode, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm very excited that we will be having our very first guest on this show, the first of many. But also, like, this election really could have gone either way. And the fact that it wasn't decided within the first day had us on the ropes a little bit. So this is going to be a real interesting one.
Don't, my anxiety was a mess the whole way through that, and I'm not even in the States. But first and foremost, big up Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, because I was so convinced that Trump was going to win. It would have been very on brand for 2020.
It was just the fact that each day we were waking up and it's like, still, you man still haven't counted these. And they were like, yep, he needs this many more, but Trump needs to get 2 states. That was still, they threw it by still how many hours. We were like, rah, surely not, America. Like, you duped us once. Surely you won't do it again. But of course, this was 2020, so it really could have gone either way.
It was the fact that I stayed up all night. I had work in the morning. I stayed up all night. All night, and they were like, yeah, no, we don't know. It's inconclusive. Arizona, Nevada, all those other states that were taking their sweet time, why they got to do us like that? Why were they taking their sweet time?
Have you seen the video of the counting guy where he's like, one, two, they're singing, now do 25. 26, 27. They should have got him to count the votes. He probably would have been quicker.
No, I love him. He should have been there. Literally 25, 26. I love him. No, they actually played us. But we have to talk about Kamala Harris, because the first female vice president, and she's of color. I think she's half Indian and half African American even. And it's about time. It's about time. She's literally the auntie that everyone needs in their life.
Yeah, her mother went over to the US when she was 19 years old. She left India at 19, then like married her dad, who is African American. But like at such a young age, she moved and started this whole new life. And thanks to the two of them, we have Kamala Harris. Like, just everything, it's so needed and so necessary, because we've had years of just like hate speech, racist, just thinking like it's cool now because this man's in office, I can be racist and it's all cushy. And this is what we needed. This is really, really, really what we needed. And let's be honest, she's going to be the real president. Let's be real. Come on now. The White House has been lacking with that seasoning for the last 4 years, and she's coming back to just restock and uplift everything.
Bringing that Maggie sauce into the White House. She's adding some colour to the White House. I'm so ready. Their inauguration is going to be live.
It's going to be sick. Like, I'm ready for the drums. I'm ready for the beat. I'm ready to drop. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. And the thing is, like, Kamala Harris is probably told, like, Biden, like, my G, you see what the Obamas did? We're not quite there because, like, you're the president and I'm the VP, but we still need to come with that energy.
Literally. And I feel like this is just exactly what we needed in 2020. After the year we've had, after the pandemic, after the Black Lives Matter movement, this is exactly
Wait. You said after the pandemic, like it's not still happening. We're not in the post-corona time yet. We're still in it. We're still very much in
it. Sorry. After lockdown chapter one, episode two, after that, yeah. We needed this. We just needed something good. Like, because another 4 years of Trump, that honestly, I was ready to just book a ticket to Mars, because no, he just gave all the white supremacists a voice, and I just wasn't ready for what was going to happen next. So thank God we never have to figure out what would have actually gone down.
Honestly, I would not have been surprised. I would not have been surprised. You even decided to stay up. I was just like, there's no point, because I'm gonna wake up and this man is still going to be the president. But what was mad? What I did not expect, the last thing I expected from this election, was from day one, Trump just claimed that he's won. Have they even finished counting? Man declared he was the winner on day one. And he was like, yeah, everyone should just stop counting. Like, I'm ahead. We should just stop the votes here because I'm winning. Therefore, it makes me the overall winner. Trump, the president, 45 even, let's just call him by that, said, stop counting the votes. It's enough.
Like, in what world would they just go, okay, well, you know what? We tried. We counted a few. We'll end it here. Like, does he understand democracy? Does he understand the process? You have to trust the process. You can't claim your winner on day one. It's not how it works.
It's like in the Olympics when there's a 400 meter run or 400 meter relay. Man got to 100 meters and said, let's just stop the race here. I'm comfortable with this. I'm actually just cool. He was convinced that the election had been rigged in favor of the Democrats. He was claiming it was rigged from left, right and center. There's loads of evidence. There's loads of where is your evidence? Please. Have you provided a single bit of evidence? No. But send man was out here. Sorry, go ahead.
All I was going to say was send me the receipts because there is no evidence.
Fam, show us. He was claiming that they're trying to steal the election. If you count the legal votes, we win. But if you count the illegal votes, they win. The votes have not even been counted yet. So what are you saying? What are you saying? This man said he's going to take it to the Supreme Court. Despite the fact that he hadn't actually lost by that point. He hadn't lost, he hadn't won. And man already claimed that it's rigged. I'm taking it to the courts. Like, can you actually deep what's going on?
It's also just like, at that point, he could have won. At that point, we didn't know who had won. So why was he moving like that? Why was he trying to take legal action when he could have been the president? Like, I think he could sense it. I think he knew his time was over and he was trying to just prevent that from happening. But you just have to take the L. You just have to take the L gracefully, you know?
I think he just wanted to, like, go out as he came in. He was like, I came in making all these wild claims. I'm gonna go out making even more wild claims. It was almost like he just wasn't ready to, because it's the crazy thing is, right, if it had gone to the court and they're like, cool, something's dodgy here, but what if he had won? Then they're gonna be like, fam, even you're winning, something was wrong there, so we'll have to redo everything. Like, imagine it actually doesn't make any sense.
No, because if that happened, he would have claimed fake news, so that would have been that. Like, he has an answer for everything somehow. It's also just funny because in 2016, when he won, there were no claims of elections being rigged. He was silent. There was no issue. But all of a sudden now he's losing. It's like, no, let's bring the courts into this.
Yeah, it's a bit wild. But What was crazy for me, yeah, is just seeing actual videos and on the news. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there is some kind of spell that he's put on these people, or this is just how all racist moves as a collective. Like, they're all hive mind. But Trump was like, it's rigged. Stop the votes. Before you know it, everyone's yelling, stop the votes. Stop the votes. And I'm like, wait. Is this actual America, or am I in a parallel universe where Americans, the one who preached liberty, land of the free, home of the brave, democracy here, everywhere, democracy all over the world, will literally start wars over democracy in other places and enforce it in other places, screaming, stop the vote. Stop the vote when they haven't finished voting in an election for the president. Could not believe it.
Honestly, you hate to see it. There was a point where I was like, are we in the middle of a dystopian movie? Is this some kind of Hunger Games part 5? Because this ain't it. Imagine in a democratic country where to get to a president, you have to count the votes. And they were like, nah, stop it. Stop, give up, go home. Like, oh man. And what it's one thing that Trump says these things, because we know Trump is problematic. We know he's a mess. But the fact that Americans were leaving their yard to scream, stop the vote, why?
Like, when I say to you, I was like, this can't be actual footage. Like, someone has rigged this, someone has recorded this. This is acting. But there were people, some with face masks, some without, in one room, plenty of them, all screaming, stop the vote. And I was like, you could not be more of a walking contradiction if you tried.
Yeah.
Real votes had not even been counted. No one had been decided as a winner or the loser yet, and they said it's rigged already. I don't get it. How?
No, 2020 is actually a mess. How can people leave their yard to go and cream, stop the vote. Do you know why this is funny? Because the same people went to the ballots to vote and now they're screaming, stop the vote. Make it make sense.
Tell me again. So if someone came and said, yeah, your vote is not going to be counted, why are you not going to count my vote? It's my legal right. It's in the amendment. My vote has to be... The same person will then scream, stop the vote, because he's the real president. He's my president. But if he didn't win, he's not, is he? He's not. Like, you can say it as many times as you want with your chest. He'll always be my president. But he's not anymore. Or at least not for the next year. Not for the next 4 years.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe it.
I don't know how they convince themselves of this. Like, I don't know how do you convince yourself? How do you go and vote? And then Trump goes on TV, says, stop the vote, it's been rigged. And then you go, yeah, you know what? I left my house the other day, I voted. But let me now go into the street and tell them to stop counting the vote so that my count is not included. Like, I just, 2 and 2 isn't equaling 4 for me. I'm missing something here.
The actual president of the free world said, nah, listen, we just need people. I know some people have voted and I know we haven't counted it yet. And I know there isn't a real winner yet, but I don't like how this is going. Can we just say I've won and just like leave all of this democratic ballot business? Let's just put that to the side. Like, do you realize the world? Do you understand how things work? Is there something in the water over there? Can someone explain what is going on?
I need answers. I just think it's funny how invested we are in this election and it's not even affecting us. Like like I said, the night before, I was a wreck. So I can't even imagine what it was like for Americans, specifically Democrats. I can't imagine what it was like for Democrats at that time, thinking that Trump might win again and lead the country for another 4 years. I can't even imagine.
Voters must have been thinking like, this, what's it, is really trying to say that an election's been rigged. It's just finding a way to just kick it up a notch every single time. But what was also wild was that people were being prevented from voting. So there were loads of attempts to like stop people from voting because like the polls had closed. But in the law, it's like, as long as you're in the line to vote by like the closing time, then you can still like carry out your vote. But they were physically trying to stop people like going in the buildings. I remember even beforehand, a couple months ago, when it came to like registering to vote, because obviously you have to register to vote before the actual election, and they were stopping people, mainly people in black communities, stopping them from entering the buildings to even register to vote. So my man wants to come and say it's been rigged against him, like they weren't out there trying to stop black people from being even able to register. And I remember that being a massive issue because when I was watching like the NBA playoffs, because they had like a bunch of empty stadiums like all across the states, they turned those into voting registration places. But it's wild that they went to that effort to stop people from registering to vote. Now when it comes to actually counting them, man said, nah, let's stop, let's leave it here, it's enough now.
Literally, this is partly why I thought Trump would win, like just because of malpractice alone, just because of all of that alone. So when Biden actually won, I was like, wait, they really had me in the first half because I didn't even know that was possible.
I said I wouldn't put it past them to do it again. Real talk, there was no hope. I was like, it would be nice, but at the same time, life throws some stuff at you and we've been through some stuff already. So if they were to do it again with all these tactics, I would not have been surprised.
Literally, I wouldn't have bat an eyelid because it's just so on brand for them. It's crazy. Imagine like you said, the leader of the free world preventing people in his own country from voting. It's wild. But this is why when Biden won, I was just like, no, do you know what? The first second I was like, how did this happen? I was very confused. I was so baffled. I was like, literally, I would have bet money that Trump won. But then I was like, you know what? This is a great day. And I was watching all these videos of Americans like celebrating in the streets. And it was just so beautiful. I low-key wished I was there for that moment.
Yeah, I think we do have to celebrate. Like, we do have to celebrate because they done been through it. And then this man's handling or lack thereof of the pandemic, like, just for them to survive alone, they had to get this man out. So that sigh of like relief and celebration and exultation at getting this man out, I can understand it.
And this is why I feel like it's such a big win just for the whole world. Like, America is such a big superpower and it has such a big influence on the world. So for people who just like want what's best for human beings to know that like a white supremacist and a racist and a homophobic person and all of that, just to know he's not running America is just, it's a big win.
Fam, just that alone, just that alone is enough for us to celebrate. Just that alone, knowing, okay, cool, we've booted a racist out, he's lost his job. That in itself is enough alone. I don't know if you've seen the videos that are circulating, but like, I have to pull it up because I shared it on my Insta. But I think it's like CNN, and this guy's interviewing like some senator. And he's like, Trump is a racist. And he was like, no, he's not, because if he was a racist, then I wouldn't support him. And he's like, okay. But he was like, yeah, Trump has come out and said, I'm not a racist, therefore I can support him. And they were like, okay, but if he came out and publicly said, I am a racist, then what would you do? Man went, pause. And he was like, you had to pause? You had to pause to question if you would support a racist?
Literally. That's what's crazy. Like, Trump couldn't even denounce white supremacy to the nation. That's when you know he's not even hiding his racism.
Like, for some people, it's not an issue. They're like, yeah, the fact that man had to pause and even think about, like, would you still support him if he full out said, yes, I'm a racist? And he was like, well, it's not something that will shake, that shakes people enough to their core. That's how I know these men really don't care. If that, he went,
like,
well, I would racism. Have to see some evidence of that.
Listen, racism isn't a deal breaker for these people. That's all I have to say. It's not. They don't care.
That's the word I needed, deal breaker. It's really not, because when you are a racist yourself, racism is not a deal breaker for you. How can you be like, you really had to think about whether or not you were still... And he was like, I need to know what the guy's name was, but if anyone just goes on my Instagram, it's a CNN interview and it's there.
Oh my god,
it's actually just ridiculous.
Trump is just that man. All I have to say is, you about to lose your job. What a moment.
Absolutely fantastic. You watched the debates, right, before the actual election?
Yes. Oh my god, I watched so many. But did you see the debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence, where he just kept interrupting her and she was like, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. It was beautiful. He had like a blue bottle on his head and had nothing intelligent to say. And she was just like, listen, bruh, I'm trying to speak, so listen. And it was in that moment that I was like, I would risk it all for this woman.
Like, it annoys me that no matter what level you get to, whether you're Senate, VP, Congresswoman, or if you're just some person in office, like, certain times when men just want to overspeak and it's like, it's my turn. This is an equal debate. Why are you chatting over me? Don't come and disrespect, because if Kamala Harris starts, like, real talks, know your place, know your turn, let people speak. That whole interrupting, speaking over people grinds my gears.
It's also just so rude, because like 9 out of 10 times, like, these women will often let the men say everything they want to say. They'll give them their time and then they will try and pipe up and it's like, no, I've got more to say. Like, it's so rude. And I feel like it's such a sign of knowing that you actually don't have much to offer. It's a way of like, I don't know, trying to prevent your opposition from actually showing that they have something worthy to say. It's just so cowardly and so rude at the same time.
Yeah, that's how you know man was on the ropes, because she probably listened to everything and was like making notes. And then was going to come back full pace on you with all the vim. And you just, stop. And do you know what? It doesn't even matter right now, because you were about to lose your job. To that very same woman. So, joke's on you.
It's so true, man. Do you know what? With this election, I also just found it really interesting to look at how each demographic voted. Because they were saying that 87% of Black people voted for Biden and 66% of Latinos voted for him, 63% of Asians and 42% of white people voted for Biden, which is wild, because it really was people of colour that saved the day. If it was up to white America, Trump would be president for another 4 years. And I think that's crazy.
Yeah, like after I saw the picture, like the map voter demographic,
mm-hmm.
I was like, rah, wow. And the thing is, beforehand, I was kind of convinced that Trump would win. When I saw like the different campaigns they were doing, especially in like the Latino community. Again, this just shows you how much like the media just sway things, and it's just not an accurate representation of things. Because I remember the days like leading up to the votes, they were showing like him campaigning to like all these Latino communities and basically saying that Biden and the Democrats were socialists and they would do all the same horrible things that happened to them in their socialist South American countries. And they were like, this is why all the Latinos are going to vote for the Republicans instead, because, you know, we're hardworking Americans and Trump appreciates that. And I was like, rah, this could really go their way. But 66% still.
Yeah.
This is exactly why they were trying to stop people from registering to vote, because 87% of Black people. He knew he was on the ropes. Man said, you know what, let's even stop them. Let's even attempt to stop them from registering the first. You cannot stop us. You cannot.
Do you know how guilty that is? He literally knew exactly what was going to happen and tried to prevent it. It's mad. But yeah, like you were saying, I was looking at the electoral maps and they showed one map of basically what would have happened if only people of color voted, and the whole electoral map was blue. Like every state would have been Democrat if it was just people of color voting, which speaks volumes. And then they showed a map of what it would have been like if just white people voted, and it was pretty much all red. Like there are a couple of states, I think California and New York and a couple of others were blue, but generally it was all red, which is terrifying. Like, white America, what are you doing? Like, are you not aware that Trump is a white supremacist? That he is all of these things, that he denounced the whole pandemic, and you're going to go and vote for him? It's wild.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's very, very telling, yet some people still don't think that there is a problem or an issue with race. Or some people, again, as we said before, like... Oh, and I've literally just forgotten the word.
Right there.
Deal breaker.
Yeah.
A lot of people have decided that racism is not a deal breaker for them. So he can say the wildest things, the most racist, homophobic, misogynistic things, and do really terrible, horrible things. And again, for people, like, it's not a deal breaker. It's really not a deal breaker that he's just a terrible person. But hey ho, very, very telling.
It's just mad though, like, because the list, there are so many things wrong with that man. Like, it's not even just the bait things. Like, he's also, like, he mocked someone with a disability. There were like dozens of rape allegations against him. He literally denounced the whole freaking virus, called it the Chinese virus. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the list is endless, and people literally left their yard to go and put a tick next to his name, knowing all of that.
Yeah. That's what's a bit wild for me. But I think obviously like 87% of like Black people voting for Biden is absolutely huge. But I think what the Democrats need to be doing is like making an active effort with the Black community and the Latino community and basically just like people of color. Because I think previously the reason, or one of the reasons that like Black votes started to diminish, was because Democrats just like wouldn't work hard enough. They would just assume that like Black people or people of color would just vote for them, so wouldn't really work hard enough. Yeah. Wouldn't really put things in their policy to appeal to them or to actually help them. So it's like, you know that you're getting my vote for free, therefore I'm not going to vote for you, because like what actual change are you doing? So I think with this, and hopefully having Kamala Harris in office, yes, as the VP, hopefully,
yes,
that helps. Because especially after 4 years of Trump, like especially after 4 years of say whatever racist, homophobic statement you want, America, like they need to put in a lot of groundwork now to sort of like make up for the environment that's been created.
100%. And especially this time round, like, obviously, like you said, often people of color do vote Democrat, but this time around with Trump being like the potential president again, obviously, like the majority of people of color are going to vote Democrat simply because they don't want to put an unapologetic racist as the leader of their country. So it makes sense. But yeah, they have to make sure they're actually putting in policies that are going to help these people that put them there, because it's just, if it was up to white people, Trump would have won. So they need to actually go and show their gratitude and actually just do something good for people of color, because they deserve it.
Yeah, real talks. Because for some people, it could have been like Biden and Kamala Harris over Trump and Pence. They could have seen it like that. Some people could have seen it as, we could get the first ever woman in, make some history, first black woman, first woman of color, the same guy that's already here. People could have seen it as, he's a racist and a very terrible man, so I'm just going to vote for the person that isn't a racist and a very terrible man. So, like, obviously you don't know what different motivations there are. And as much as we love the Obamas and Obama himself, a conversation that needs to happen that doesn't always happen is that first black president, amazing, was in there for 2 terms, a whole 8 years. Not much changed when it came to the life of black people and African Americans. So some of them felt a little hard done by, like, bro, like, brother, you're up in the highest office. What are you doing for us down here? So it's just making sure that things on the ground actually happen, especially in this 2020 with the pandemic and it hitting ethnic minorities, especially with Black Lives Matter and police brutality and all of that and incarceration. Like, things need to be sorted. Things actually need to be sorted.
Yeah, like, I know Obama faced a lot of opposition with his policies, to be fair, like in Congress and stuff, but these two, Biden, Harris, you need to do better. I don't care, you need to do better, because things seem to be getting worse. Like, even if you just look at the amount of hate crimes that have happened this year alone, things need to be put in place to prevent that.
Yeah.
Among other social issues and economic issues, like, things need to be done. We can't have another 4 years and then not much actually changes afterwards for people of colour, you know?
Yeah, real talk. So you just need to, like, invest loads of money, like, into the economy for, into, like, black economies and communities and Latino mm-hmm. communities. Like, money really needs to be pumped in because they're so deprived. And again, I don't live there, but just from, like, generic hearsay I hear from certain Trump supporters, they're like, he's done such a great job for the economy. And, you know, this was, like, all over social media, like, apparently, like, 50 Cent and Ice Cube, and they start, quote-unquote, supporting Trump. Obviously, 50 Cent, at the end of the day, he's a rich man. He's got money. He's made his money. Does he want that to all go to tax and be taxed? I don't know. But also, I think what Ice Cube did was convince Trump to put in to donate, not to donate, but to, like, what's the word I don't know, basically pump like $500 billion into, like, black communities.
Yeah.
He's trying to sway him to do that, and actually, like, doesn't mean he supports the dude, does not mean he's, like, all cool broskies with him, but he was like, fam, we need money in our communities. If he can do it, then let's get him to do it. Obviously, again, Biden and Kamala Harris just come in clutch, I beg. Come in clutch for the
please,
brothers.
Please. Just, like, create some projects that are specifically for these communities. Please, please do better. Like, to be fair, though, I have every faith in them. I really do. I think they got this.
Yeah. Woo. Well, that was our insight. Our insight. Just our opinions, our general chats from a, you know, UK, London perspective of us. But we're going to move on to our first guest. That's going to be quite exciting.
I can't wait.
We are joined by our first ever guest. Camilla is my friend from uni. She loves all things to do with rugby and women in sports. She's Italian-American, has family in Texas, and joins us today as our American expert. So welcome, Camilla, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you would like to... I just want to make sure that all that information was correct.
Yes, that was... So I've been in a permanent resident since 2001, and then I got my U.S. citizenship about 5 years ago. So, time's passed. Anyway, so I am American, but I guess I'm first generation American, if that helps or changes things.
That's perfect. We really wanted like an American perspective. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Also, if you want to ask any questions about the citizenship process and all of those, I've got those stories as well.
Also, so did you watch the election here?
Yes. It was okay. A very stressful couple of nights because obviously, you know, it was kind of going on during the nighttime. And I remember 4 years ago kind of staying up all night waiting for the results to kind of come in. And as, you know, people in Italy were waking up and texting me, like I was still kind of shell-shocked from the fact that Trump had gotten elected. And then this time around, I was the one that was kind of following the news all night. But then obviously there wasn't the results straight away. So it just kept on going. The days kind of kept on getting longer and longer. But yeah.
I can imagine. I was going to say, because I was stressed, like I was so anxious and the result was never going to affect me. But as like an American, that must have been so stressful.
Yeah, it was. I think everyone felt it. I think it was just in terms of the turnout, the amount of people that went out and voted. I mean, this was the biggest turnout that there's ever been. So I think that already showed kind of that people were interested and were involved. But yeah, there's a lot, and on all ends, you know, on both sides of the aisle, everyone I think was just stressed, and we just had no idea how it was going to go. And I mean, we still don't know really how it's going to go, because that's the thing, is that Trump's kind of just changing all the rules, and where others, you know, follow what they're supposed to do, even if there's no like binding legal document or whatever that says they have to follow like a certain set of behaviors, they generally all did. Whereas he's just kind of completely changed the rules on everyone.
So you said that obviously like the last time round, you were like obviously watching to see what the results of the election is. And it was obviously very surprising when Trump got elected. But like, did you at any point like live in the States whilst he was president? Or like if you had like family or friends there, like what was their experience of like living in a Trump America?
Yeah, so I did my last year of undergrad so that November he got elected, and so I did half 6 months of living in Trump's America. But my uni was very very left, to the left, very liberal. You know, most people were for Bernie Sanders, and a lot of people had difficulty kind of digesting Hillary Clinton. But obviously when compared to Trump, kind of the choice is obvious. But that's kind of the to give you guys the background of where I was at. And so the next day, it really just felt like the world had changed. And it didn't help that it was in Portland, so it's super rainy and gray already. But so it was a gray, rainy day, and everyone was just like, campus seemed just completely devoid of, everyone was just kind of didn't believe what had happened. And like we would go into class. So it was a very small uni as well, so my classes were like, it was a big class if there was 20 people in it, and our professors would be like, look, like I don't want to assume anyone's political like leanings, but you know, this is a big day, like a lot has happened, like it's okay if we don't go over what we were supposed to go over in class, like if you want we can talk about what's just happened. So it really did feel like this like monumental shift. And there was a couple of instances as well of, so even though my school was, you know, super left and everything, like someone carved MAGA into, which is Make America Great Again, into the, we had thesis desks for seniors, so where they could just leave their books and work on their thesis kind of year round. And on our student body president, who's, you know, Black and non-binary, they carved into their desk MAGA. And then there was like another like bathroom graffiti or something that kind of said like, oh, like finally like Trump's won or something. So, you know, it just really goes to show that, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of hidden about who they voted for. But, you know, even in a place that seems somewhat, you know, accepting and like to the left, there were still people that were like celebrating Trump and like kind of using his victory to harass other people. So it was a huge shock. And I mean, thankfully they were isolated instances. But I mean, I remember the things that come up on Facebook, and it was all of these tweets of like people that had already, like within the next couple of days, like been harassed. And there were some just awful things, like really just quite shocking. Like one girl had come home to, she was Mexican, and she'd come home to her, to her dorm room, which she shared with another, and her roommate had like built a, like put all this stuff in a line to build a wall. And I was like, and so I mean, thankfully that there were just things that I'd heard of, in like state schools and stuff, like there was just people that like went to school with like the red MAGA hats and everything. So that wasn't really my experience. And I think if people were Trump supporters, they would have hidden it.
That's like one of the crazy things, is that for so long it was almost like hidden, like before those like racists would have felt uncomfortable to do that, but like within a mere few hours of him being elected, there's already like this abuse that, you know, the student body president is facing as a black person, as a non-binary person. And it's just like the turnaround was so quick, so it's not as if it happened overnight. It's like obviously these people have been there, and as you said, it was like a very liberal place anyways, but it's like you still get that. And it was just so like underlying for the longest time, and he just welcomed everyone to say and act as and wish they please, which is what's crazy.
Exactly.
And I think it's one thing as well to come to terms with Trump, a white supremacist, being president, but it's a complete other thing knowing that like the majority of the people in your country have put him there. And I guess him being president kind of gives all these people a voice, and it gives them confidence to kind of do and say all the things that they've been hiding this whole time.
I remember that was one of the most striking things that happened election night. So I mean, I lived with five other people. I mean, our house was kind of the house that everyone would be in, so we had a couple people over, and we like started off the night like, you know, oh, like kind of excited, like, oh, but I also have homework to do. So we like kind of doing our own thing, but like keeping on in the background. And just like as the night went on, like we just got like quieter and quieter. And then I mean there was people who like identified as gay, like people that were sexual abuse survivors, people of color, and just, you know, like everyone just kind of started crying towards the end. And one of my best friends, she's Native American, and I remember like she'd like left the room, and I went out to her, and she was just like sitting on the front porch crying. She's like, I can't believe like half the people in this country hate me. And it was just such a, like, just that, it was just an upsetting moment. Obviously, then it gets complicated because not everyone votes, and a lot of people are disenfranchised. And, like, so that's a whole other thing to get into. But, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about, I guess. It's just, like, symbolically, A, the, like, courage that he gave to a bunch of shitty people, but then also, like, the impact on minorities that his election had is just upsetting.
Yeah, I guess there was like an exponential increase in hate crime, so it's not just like a political issue at that point, it's like people suddenly aren't safe on the streets anymore. So like this time round, who did you think was going to win?
So this is that's a great question. I was very unsure, I'm not gonna lie. I think, you know, and the same thing, I don't know if you guys had a similar experience with Brexit, but like at the beginning I thought, you know, there's no way that that's gonna pass, and then it did, and then I was like, there's no way that Trump's gonna win, and then he did.
Literally that
I figured that, I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't say it. There's no way, because I mean there is a way, we've seen it happen. I think I wouldn't have been surprised any way it went. Like, had Biden won in a landslide, I wouldn't have been surprised. How it's turned out now, I'm not entirely surprised. Upset, but not surprised. And same thing if Trump had won. I don't think I would have been, like, completely blindsided as I was 4 years ago.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, I didn't expect anything from this. Obviously, it doesn't affect me directly as much, but I was just like, at this point, like, we've seen the worst. We've seen that anything could happen. Did I ever expect US American citizens to be chanting to stop the vote? Never in my life, but we've seen that that does happen. Yeah. Never did I expect people in the land of the free who love democracy so much to be like, do you know what? I feel like he's won. Let's just stop it here.
But you just don't know. Did you see the videos where in other states they kept on being like, count the, like in a couple states they're like, stop the vote, and then in the states where he was not winning or like he'd lost, they kept on being like, oh, you have to count all the votes, like keep on counting.
Yeah. We spoke about it, and it's crazy to me. We just couldn't believe it. We just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't know if you saw the Mike Pompeo talking the other day, and someone asked him, like, are you going to, you know, facilitate a, like, peaceful transition of power to Biden? And he, like, responded, and he was like, there will be a peaceful transition to a second Trump administration.
Yes.
That's crazy. Crazy.
I just was so, and this is what, you know, I had a project to work on and I was like, I can't be distracted by the news, but this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, had this happened in any other country, like, America would already be like ready to invade in the name of democracy.
Literally, I'm like, how are they getting away with this? This is all so undemocratic. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like at the point where you've lost the election now, like, it's not yours. You did not reach the 270 mark. And he said, we're ready to transition to a second term. What second term? There is no second term.
Like, yeah.
That is worrying. We're not ready to like hand over, like, hand over the baton now. Your time is up. Why are you still talking as if there are options? You are out of options.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, it's ridiculous. But then, like, going forward, do you reckon there'll be more or less hate crimes? Because I don't know, because I feel like obviously the last 4 years they've increased, and these, I guess, racists have kind of been given a voice, a lot more of a voice. So I'm wondering if that voice is now gonna slightly dim or silence, or if they're gonna continue with all of that.
I actually don't know. Also, because, I mean, had Biden won in a landslide, I think we wouldn't have had all this, you know, all these absurd statements and all this kind of like, oh, well, like, it's just, you know, 100 votes that change things. Which it's not the case, but, you know, that's what they're saying. So had he won in a landslide, maybe. But the fact that it's close, and A, that he's contesting it, I guess it just all depends what happens in January. I think if he, you know, goes away and like shuts up, then, you know, people will start to maybe like not go back to normal, because he can't go back to normal after that. I guess it just depends on him, because I think if he stays present and he stays as vocal as he is, people are still gonna feel, you know, emboldened by him and by his behavior. And I mean, now they're just going to say, even if Biden, you know, they do manage to seat Biden in January, I feel like they're just going to be like, oh, well, it was stolen anyways. Like, he shouldn't be there. Like, Trump's the true president. And so they're just going to keep on acting as they have done. Because, I mean, the problem isn't just Trump. It's the whole infrastructure that comes in behind him and that allowed him to get there and allowed him to get away with all this stuff and, like, didn't call him out on anything. And that's all still there. Like, that's the other part of the election that was really disappointing. It's like seeing so many senators that just let him get away with so much, just get easily reelected. And so, I mean, they're still there. They're still. So I would like to say that things will change, but I'm not, I don't know how much.
I'm very interested to see how this inauguration goes, because obviously, like, when Obama had to hand over to Trump, you could see that it took the sheer willpower from God for Barack and Michelle to get through that. Like, they had to shake hands. They had to be, like, cordial. They had to not let this get to them. The fact that, you know, they've done all this work for 2 terms and some racist Watsit is about to walk into their house. But they still did it. Trump is still claiming that he is the winner, and his whole administration don't want to give up. So this is about to be a very awkward inauguration.
Yeah, seriously. It'll probably be quite entertaining, though.
That's going to be great. It's going to be great.
I feel like Biden and Kamala Harris will be ready to move in, and Trump's still in the yard. Like,
no, Trump will change the locks. He will change all the locks in the house, I swear.
Did you guys see that interview? I think it was Biden, though, that like someone asked him a question, and he was like, "Oh well, like the U.S. government is perfectly capable of kicking trespassers out of the White House."
I love it. I would love it.
What an icon! What an actual icon! Oh my god, I love that.
So that would be quite the image, just seeing Trump being dragged out by Secret Service.
I would love to see him drag him to jail or something. I feel like he's probably done something illegal. Like, might as well jail him.
Oh, he's done so many illegal things.
Can you give us a rundown of like the political parties? Because I realize we have been talking about like Democrats and Republicans. And again, like, I'm not expecting American listeners to know about like Labour and like Conservatives. So can you give us like a rundown? Because I feel as if like most Brits just have a generic.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the one hand, it's quite generic. On the other hand, it's very complicated. So I'll explain it as well as I know. But I might have some gaps, so don't get your hopes up. So basically, there's two political parties. There's the Democrats, which are blue, and the Republicans, which are red. Just that those are the colors that represent them. There's also a little image, but I get those mixed up. I think Republicans are the donkeys.
Republicans are elephants.
Okay.
And
elephants?
There's like some like little image. I shouldn't have brought it up because I have no idea which is which.
Donkeys are Democrats.
That's so random.
Yeah. I mean, they don't use it a lot, but occasionally when they'll like do little like debate graphics, sometimes they'll show like the two like... Anyways. So basically there are... So there's the three things, I guess, up for election. There's a House of Representatives, which is 435. Those are district based. And it depends on how many people you have. I had to study this for my citizenship test. I've now forgotten most of it. So it's based on the amount of people that you have in your state. They're up for election every 4 years. Then you have your senators, and there's two for every state, just, you know, straight up. Doesn't matter how many people you are. And that's also kind of sometimes come under contention because, you know, you've got California, which has a ridiculous, you know, I think it's like a huge economic power. And they have just the same two senators with the same two votes as, you know, someone from Wyoming. With no disrespect to Wyoming, but they're two very different dynamics.
Love that shade.
We love and, the shade.
So whoever has the majority in the Senate obviously has, you know, that's also got its value. And then there's the presidency. Then there's also the Supreme Court, which is technically supposed to be, you know, not a partisan thing. It's supposed to be just, you know, there to interpret the law. But obviously in recent years, that's become very, very political because the president gets to nominate the candidate to the Supreme Court whenever a vacancy opens up. And those are appointments for life. So, you know, it's a big deal. Mm. Usually, then obviously there's local elections and, you know, all of those things, but I don't know the details about that. So usually after an election, so there's for senators and for House of Representatives, there's also the midterm elections. So in the last midterm election 2 years ago, Democrats managed to take a majority of the House. But Republicans still had a very slim majority in the Senate. And now that's why the senator race in Georgia is very important in January, because Georgia has like some weird rule where you have to win by a majority. If not, it goes to runoff election. So I think the two seats that were up, none of them managed to get the majority. So now they've gone on to runoff. So now a lot of Democrats are kind of focusing their energy on this next Senate race, because if the Democrats get both seats, then it's a tie in the Senate. But then for in the case of a tiebreaker in the Senate, it goes to the vice president, so which would be Kamala Harris. So yeah, so those are kind of the obviously like winning the presidency is important. It's very big. But also, you know, having a majority in the Senate and the House, that's also massive. I think the Democrats managed to maintain their majority in the House, but they didn't make as many gains as they were hoping. And same thing with the Senate. They were hoping to flip a lot of seats, and they didn't manage to. So that was like a bit of a blow to them as a party. But the Democratic Party is very kind of fractured. And it was clear kind of like the day after the election, because there's a lot of kind of jabs that went out, because there's like a very leftist like socialist side, which is, you know, Bernie Sanders, you got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but then you have kind of the more central as well, which are much more establishment, and I mean, so Biden, for example, is quite centrist, and so a lot of people obviously voted for Biden, but he wasn't their first choice when there was, you know, 20 or so presidential candidates. But, you know, right now it wasn't a time to be picky.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's, I don't know if that's enough of an overview. That's the like baseline.
Like, explain the whole like how US politics works. Like, I feel like I've just had a class in like
that was amazing
5 minutes. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a lot more complicated because there's I don't fully know what each part does. Like, so I usually when bills get, okay, I might know one last thing just to round out the class.
Go ahead. I love it. I think
there's usually when bills get, they have to pass the House first and then they get voted on by the Senate. So that's why having that majority in the House is very important, because, you know, you can pass bills and like pass them up to the Senate. But then
Have something similar-ish. Yeah. Like, things get discussed in like the Houses of Commons, but before they become like an actual law, they then have to go up to the Houses of Lords.
Okay.
And then they decide whether it's like, okay, this is legit going to pass. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of similar.
I'm sure the Americans copied a lot off the British, you know.
Probably. I mean...
But yeah, and then the Senate, though, then decides. So, for example, for like voting on judges, like the Supreme Court, that gets passed by the Senate. And I'm trying to think what else. I'm sure there's so much that I'm missing, but that's just kind of like those are some of the key things that the House and the Senate does. And the Senate can also, I think if you don't have I think if you have 60, because there's 100. So if you have 60 as a majority or more, then the opposition can't like filibuster or something. I'm not going to get into that because I don't fully know. But yeah, let's just say if you have 60 or more, it's great. But already if you just have like the 51. So for example, with this most recent Supreme Court nomination, I mean, they just passed that because they had just that like one person. But I think it was like the closest vote Supreme Court justice ever.
I mean, I feel like you know more about the US like political system than some actual senators or some people running for senators. Like, I've seen a video where this one guy who was running for Senate was like, yeah, this Muslim person can't do it because they'd have to swear on a Bible. And
I saw that. It was so bad.
You realize it doesn't have to be a Bible, right? Like, it can be whatever religious book. And he was like, when I did it, I swore on a Bible. And he was like, I'm sure you did because you're a Christian. And he's like, not everyone has to swear on a Bible. He was like, you do realize that. Like, you realize that's in the law. Like, it doesn't have to be a Bible. And he was just like dumbfounded. So some people at the highest level don't even understand the legal system. Yeah, here you are gracing us.
Well, I mean, you got Trump saying, you know, that male voters are illegal, despite the fact that it was fully allowed within state legislature.
There we go.
So, you know, there's not a great example coming from the top down. But
prime example.
So when, like, you're starting a new job and you low-key have imposter syndrome and you're like, am I actually qualified? Am I actually good enough? Looking at the US government, I'm like, listen, if Trump can actually run this country, I can do anything. I can do it all. Because clearly we don't have to be qualified or educated, so... It's like
the standard, the bar has dropped very
so
low.
Far.
Yeah, but that is a good point. I should keep that in mind whenever I start to feel like incompetent. I should be like, you know, he was president for whole years.
Trump told people to drink bleach during a pandemic. He told people to down bleach. So if he can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah, exactly. The only lesson that I will take from him.
Yeah, literally.
Also, are there literally only two parties in the whole country, or is it like there are smaller ones but they never really kind of get anywhere?
So there are smaller ones. I don't fully understand how they work because they don't mean anything pretty much. Like, it's just so unheard of. Like, so for example, I mean, presidency, they don't even get close. They might win like a couple seats in the House at times, maybe, but they're like never enough to be, you know, a nuisance or a threat. Like, they're just kind of there doing their own thing.
Yeah, because obviously with us here, again, it's two main parties, so Labour and Conservatives, mm-hmm. but you do have like the Lib Dems, the Green Party, and other small, I say small, but like the Lib Dems are quite big and the Green Party is growing, and like they do hold seats.
And like, yeah, no, there is like anything they like, there's just like the one person, the one or two people. I might be talking.
Yeah, I feel like just with the states, it's literally only Democrats. Yeah. And when I was younger, I just used to think like, the Republicans are the bad guys because it's all the white old men who are probably racist and it's like rednecks. And the Democrats are the good guys because Obama. probably not the most accurate, like, probably a wild generalization. I was very young at the time. But, like, can you provide us with a... I mean, I feel like you did this before when you described, like, AOC. Yeah. You said that there were some more socialist, like, super leftist people in the Democrats. But there's
So, I mean, that's...
Anything, you'd get, like, a bunch of various people.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say now, like, you are seeing... Now I feel like people who supported Trump, like, and, like, the Republican, you know, officials that kind of just let him do whatever and, like, actively, like, egged him on and just, like, didn't say anything. So, for example, in the impeachment... hearing, that's the right word, impeachment hearing, only Romney voted in favor, and I think that there was enough there to like continue talking about it, and I think that's what they were like voting on, and the fact that, you know, just one Republican, I just think that's, it just says a lot. And obviously, if the situation were reversed, you would like Republicans would be up in arms, like over the same thing. So I think that like now the face of the Republican Party has changed drastically. And, you know, for most liberal people, if you still identify and proudly as Republican, you're not. Probably not too welcome.
I think that's probably what the biggest issue is like, it's not, obviously people can support whatever political party they want to and like it's their views and their value, but I think what the biggest issue is now maybe is that like the face of the Republican Party is Donald Trump, and it's almost like if you're happy to keep supporting the party, it's almost as if like, okay, racism and homophobia and like misogyny isn't what's the word? I keep forgetting. Isn't a deal breaker. I've said this line so many times. I have forgotten the word deal breaker. That's sort of, I'm guessing, what like other people who don't support Republicans or like people even here in the UK, it's more just like, okay, that isn't a deal breaker for you. That's a bit worrying. But obviously, like even people in the Republican Party, there are senators and like congressmen and women who don't support Trump. So obviously, like it's not just that black and white.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, is the situation has become so, you know, polarized and so. But then at the same time, like, so you get some people being like, oh, like, you know, politics isn't personal. Like, you shouldn't like cut people out of your life because of politics. But then, you know, on the other hand, that's not true. Like, politics is personal. Like, politics have a huge impact on your life. And I think that it does really speak to who you are as a person. If you've seen everything that Trump's done and have no remorse or like don't think that there's anything wrong with that, like I would take that personally. Like, I do take that personally. I don't think that that's this idea that, you know, you're sort of kumbaya, like have to be friends with everyone. And it's like, no, like, you know,
it's like, yeah, we can have different political views and still be friends, but when like you're okay with racism and you're okay with like inequality, that's where we draw the line. Like,
exactly.
that cannot be debated.
Exactly.
That's either you're here or you're there. It's, that one's not up for debate.
Exactly. You can't debate racism, honestly. So like, after Trump's term, do you reckon now people who voted Republican are all inherently racist then?
Big
question.
It's true.
I guess yes, because I think, you know, if they're not like we were saying, you know, I mean, it's kind of like if you're a bystander, you're still part of it. You're still contributing. And I think, I mean, now for the most part, unfortunately not fully, but like we've moved on from, I think a lot of people when they hear racist, you know, they imagine the like Ku Klux Klan and they're like, oh, well, I'm not that, so I'm not racist. And it's like, okay, but that's not actually, you know, what modern day racism looks like. There's a lot more nuance. And I think that, you know, they are contributing to that environment. I mean, the whole structure, the whole infrastructure of like how the most of the world works is racist. So like, if you're not actively dismantling that, like you're still contributing to that.
Right. If anything, like in those systems is where it affects you more, because that affects like where you can live, where you can go to school, where you can get a job. Like,
exactly.
So if anything, it definitely impacts a lot more. So yeah.
So I think like if, you know, and I mean, then Trump is not even trying to hide anything. Like, he's just living.
So unapologetic with it. It's crazy.
And I think if you're okay with that, then like that says a lot. Even, you know, I think, yeah. So yes, they are. Just to answer your question, to but no, it is true. Because I mean, I think, and even in terms of, you know, also the things that he said about women and the way that he, you know, like treats women, like all the sexual assault allegations against him, like it's just that's a deal breaker. And I think if you like actively voted for him, that's a deal breaker. Like, I think that says a lot. And like, you're just trying to kid yourself if you think that, you know, it doesn't say something about who you are.
So I have a question. So based on like everything we've discussed, and obviously like seeing how split the country was, especially during this election, we're seeing like two extremes, if anything, and everyone's been talking about like just the polarization of the US, like people just being completely deaf to listening to what the other side has to say. So like, do you think the US is too far gone? Will there ever be some kind of moderate political stance? And like, what do you kind of hope to see from the next 4 years?
Here's the thing. I mean, it was polarized. It's been growing ever more polarized in the past 4 years. I mean, it was pretty polarized to begin with, but it's gotten worse for sure over the past 4 years. But just the way that this pandemic has been handled and how it's unfolded in the U.S., if the pandemic did like nothing to create any sense of unity in the U.S., I think it's too far gone. Not to be like too pessimistic, but it kind of feels like they just need to burn themselves to the ground and like start over. Just because so many people are dying, and you know, so I was in Italy when the pandemic first kind of came into Europe, and like it was the first spot, and so we went into lockdown pretty early and pretty strictly. But like at the beginning, like now, obviously, like people are upset because, you know, it's a bad time to be living in. Like, tons of people are losing their jobs. Like, businesses are struggling. So now that kind of anger and resentment is coming out. But at the beginning, like, you know, there was Italian flags like hanging out from the window. Like people would put signs on their shop windows or like from their windows being like, it's all going to be okay. Like there was a moment of like, wow, we're in this together. Like we're going to get through this together. In the US, I feel like straight away it became a political issue. Like wearing a mask became like this political issue, like wanting to help. Like they nominated a Supreme Court justice instead of like pushing through another like COVID relief bill. Like that's, to me, it just shows that you're more interested in, you know, keeping power, like holding on to some sort of power, than to actually help the people that put you in office.
Yeah, the fact that, like you just mentioned, the fact that, you know, wearing a mask was suddenly a telltale sign of like who you are voting for or yeah. which political party you stand for is wild, because it's like there is a pandemic. Obviously the numbers in the US are like the highest in the world, and it's like this could potentially like save your life or save the life of another and stop people from spreading the virus. And the fact that like the option of whether or not you wear one or you don't wear one is suddenly like infringing your freedoms and means that you're a socialist if you wear one, because you must be a Biden, and if you don't, then you're for Trump. It's crazy that a mask yeah. came to represent that in the US.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, I mean, the UK is like similarly individualistic as a, but I mean, people in the UK, like, yes, there, I think there was some pushback. But like not nowhere even close to what happened in the US. I mean, in the US, like people, like, I don't know if you guys saw the videos of like people like pushing employees or like screaming at employees to like get into a store without wearing a mask and just being yeah. so rude and being like, I'm going to call my lawyer, like all kinds of just, I didn't see anything like that coming from the UK. Despite the fact that I think that they have like some similar, you know, general behavioral similarities, like in the way that they are yeah. in the world. And just like seeing all of those things like from Italy, and like, to me, that just kind of signaled, if this moment in time isn't enough to kind of like bring people together, I don't know what can. Like, it doesn't get worse than this. Like, hundreds and thousands of people are dying every day.
Yeah, that's what I think is shocking as well, like especially this year, just looking at the pandemic and how many people have died, and then even like the Black Lives Matter movement over the summer, after all of that to happen, and then to have an election and for it to still potentially go either way, for it to be as close as it was, I think yeah. just speaks volumes, to be honest. Yeah. Like, that should have been the thing. This should have been the year that brought everyone together, but people are still split.
That's crazy. Like, for the pandemic, I think Trump would have easily won. That's what scares me the most.
Yeah, like, even, wow. like, forgetting that Trump's racist and sexist and all these things, the fact that he denounced the whole pandemic, the fact that he called it a Chinese mm-hmm. virus, the fact that he laughed at Biden for wearing a mask and told people to drink bleach and for people to still vote for him, like, yeah. it doesn't make any sense.
I definitely think you're right there. Like, I think his mishandling of the pandemic is probably what swayed it. Swayed it ever so slightly. But, like, I feel like he probably lost some of his own voters because of that. Because people, like, thousands and thousands of people are dying from COVID in the US. Mm. I think it's over, like, 150,000 deaths at this point. The fact that he had it himself, was hospitalized, and then came out, like, you can see him wheezing and like struggling for breath, and he's like, look, I've defeated it. Do you know what? They need to test my blood, because like obviously I'm just Superman out here and I've defeated it, therefore, you know, I'm all good. Look at how amazing I am. As if thousands like have not died from this, and like other people lost yeah. family members.
And like, as if he did not have the best care whatsoever.
Exactly.
Like, through like so many experimental drugs. Like, you think they do that with everyone? Like, no. Unfortunately, yeah. you are the president of the United States. So, like, I've got to make
it's
sure you
wild live. Because when he like came out of the hospital, he was wearing a mask like in the car. And then the first thing he did when he got to the White House was like, look, take it off the mask. I don't need it. And it's just like, really, dude, like, really. Imagine calling Biden a wuss for wearing a mask and caring about his health. Like, imagine that.
Yeah. Don't remind me. It just makes me so upset. Like, that's honestly, if it was like a couple months later, earlier, sorry, like, I would not have, you know, I would have hoped that he'd kicked it. I don't know if that's treasonous to say, but like, I really would not have cared at all, because I think that he does have, you know, like, blood on his hands. I think a lot more people have died as a direct result of his actions. But then and there, like, in that moment, that would have been awful. Because, like, well, imagine how, like, the elections would have gone. Because, like, I'd already cast my vote, for example. I'd mailed my ballot. But, like, he was on the ballot. So, like, what happens? Like, would that ballot be invalidated? So I just spent days, like, being like, oh, my God. Like, if he dies, this is gonna suck. Like, I can't believe that I want him to not die. Just because, I mean, that would have been, like, a huge constitutional crisis. I think that would have been massive. I mean, that being said, I know he has family, so I'm glad that he didn't die-ish. But I do think that he is responsible for many people's deaths. So I wasn't upset, let's say, that he got it, because I think, I mean, he was just asking for it.
Literally, like, he deserved it.
Do you think that, like, this will just be a blip in US history? Like, guys, remember that one time where we voted, you know, that dude in, that celebrity in? Jokes. Let's get back to being actual politics. You think this is going to be a blip and, like, things are going to go back to being, you know, political? And or does this just open up the gates for anyone? I mean, we've seen Kanye.
Don't get me started on that.
Do you think this now just opens up the gates for, like, anyone and everyone to shoot their shot?
So I remember seeing, like, a meme that was like, gosh, I feel bad for the kids that have to study 2020.
Bad. It's going to be hefty.
Like, it's
a hefty chapter.
It's going to be a big term, for real. Like, the essays are going to be mad.
Oh, God.
What do you think were the final factors to the crisis of 2020?
So I, once again, like, is he gonna rerun in 2024? Who knows? Because, I mean, that would change things a lot, you know. I think it's one thing if he were to just disappear and not run and, like, not hold any sort of political office, I think maybe it would maybe it wouldn't be a blip, because, I mean, like I said, the, like, whole infrastructure that allowed him to be there and, like, do so much damage is still there. And I think, you know, on the one hand, it really showed the US's, like, ugliness and hypocrisy. That was, I think, to some extent there anyways, you know. It didn't come out of nowhere, because it's not just him. So I don't think that that's gonna go away immediately, but it might, you know, go back to kind of its back channel, like, more underground state, and it might.
Yeah, I think we had like a sorry to interrupt. There is, like, a slight delay. I do apologize. I feel like we had something similar, like, here, because obviously, like, living in London, it's very multicultural. And, like, when the whole, like, Brexit vote happened, everyone was like, "There's no way we're leaving the EU. That would just be foolish. Like, there's no way we're gonna let the bigots win." And all this business, and, like, everyone was just so certain that we wouldn't leave, and then you saw the results, and it's like, wow, we really undermined, like, what we thought of people. Like, people really don't like foreigners, people are scared of, like, all of these things. Like, we really undermined, like, how much of a swaying factor that was. And I think, like, Brexit showed that. Obviously there are other, like, reasons to us leaving, like, the EU. But I think most definitely, like, Trump getting elected in 2016 definitely just showed how much bigotry there is.
Yeah.
And it was just lying under the surface.
Yeah. But then, I mean, on the other hand, so kind of your question about people, you know, non-politicians. I mean, honestly, I'm not too mad about. I think, you know, in the 2016 primaries, like, by, like, Trump kind of gaining a lot of ground, and Bernie Sanders as well, like, really performed well in a lot of the primary races, I think it kind of showed that Americans are kind of a little fed up with, like, the political elite. So, I mean, like, Clinton, she's really entrenched in the like political structure. I mean, she's really, and so I think people were kind of starting, beginning to show that they were ready for something else. So that might be, you know, a not necessarily very bad thing of his legacy, is that, you know, because I think maybe politics does need people that are not in politics to kind of come in and shake things up. I think one good thing maybe about the U.S. system, it is like, you know, you have 4 years and then you have another president. And I think it's, you know, even if when things get really bad, then you know how to fix them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you learn from the past, don't you? So I'm hoping that, like, I'm really hoping that this term is just going to be, oh, so different from the last one, at the very least. I'm sure it will. To be fair, like, the bar is set pretty low after Trump. It's set very, very low. I'm just so glad that we don't have to see his face. I'm glad we don't have to watch his speeches anymore. I'm so glad that he has been voted out, because I really was worried for a minute there.
Yeah. And now we just have to enjoy the breakdown on his way out. But that's just kind of fun, because, you know, he's on his way out.
I feel like we can get through that. We can survive the next few weeks as long as he actually leaves eventually.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, thank you so much for joining us, because it was just so good to have an American point of view, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I talked too much. I get riled up about these things for sure.
Yeah, and as pessimistic as this conversation might have been at times, some more great things that came out of the election was like Richie Torres and Mondaire Jones making history as the first openly gay Black members of Congress, and also we had the first openly transgender state senate of Delaware, Sarah McBride. So, you know, things are moving in the right direction in terms of diversity and inclusion, and it's great to see, especially in like the forefront of everything that's been happening. It's definitely great to see that.
Yeah, I agree. Snaps to that.
This was a big win. We can't even deny that. And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use the hashtag #BlackBrokeAndBrilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Give us a like, subscribe, share it with your mums, your grands, your nans, your bosses, people of the same or opposite political party to you. I don't know.
Back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samira. Thanks for listening.